Welcome to Never Ceasing Podcast. We have a job since we started. So let's keep on going, everybody. It's good to see you guys. It's good to see you, Nathan.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. It's good to see you guys. You can't see anybody.
I was like, hey,
and they can't see us either because I haven't bought the
thing that you wanted to buy.
The camera yet.
I'm sorry.
I am going to buy the camera. That's not what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about today. I mean, we're marking it down in faith. We're marking it down. Put your pen, mark it down.
And do it in faith.
Do it in faith.
We
always... Huh?
Nothing.
Okay. So we always like to start... I'm sorry. I'm not in front of the microphone. We always like to start with what we think mark it down in faith means. What does it mean to you? I'm going to start with you.
It doesn't even really have to be in, like, pencil or pen or whatever. Just, like, in your head, you know, if it's a realistic thing that you can work towards, you know, mark it down in faith when it's going to happen. Like, you have a goal to achieve or you want to make a certain amount of money. Just, like, putting a, not a deadline, but, like, put a date where you would like to have it and just mark it down in faith. And I don't know if everything needs to be written in, you know, pen or whatever. There are some things that do.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it in your head, but it's also on a piece of paper or whatever that, like, I know this is going to happen. So it's like just kind of marking it down in faith.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need... Either, like, it doesn't have to be verbal, but just, like, the prayers that you pray every day. You know what I'm saying? And I know for some people it's hard to pray the same thing over and over and over again. I'm one of those people. But I also know that it's the thing that we need to do.
Yeah.
It's important to continue to pray, because if you continue to pray, we'll start to see more continually.
So, true.
Absolutely. So, our... the first thing that I have written down here as for topic that we decided on, that's a very convoluted sentence. I hope you guys didn't follow along. Mark down the things, the battles you are fighting for.
Yep.
No, I wanted to put two separate things, the things and the battles you're fighting for. There's things that you fight for, and then there's battles that you wage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I think marking it down in faith means that you know that there is a higher, like, that there is a God. Because you know that you can't do it by yourself and you need help. And so marking it down in faith shows that you have faith not only in yourself, but also that God will come through for you.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, marking it down in faith is, for me, like, just knowing that it will, maybe not as soon as you want it to, but it will happen.
Yeah. I think that, you know, the things and the battles that you fight, you know, a battle is waged with, I love the scripture, the battle we wage is not with sword and with stone, but with the, oh my goodness, it's the exact wording, the spirit, there's something,
principalities,
yes, but with principalities, thank you. I knew there was like a word, there's a very specific word, I was like, what's the specific word?
I was waiting to see if you could get it, but I was like,
I could not remember. It is the principalities.
I'll help.
And the thing about, I think, a common, just a look at the world, is there's been multiple wars. Yeah, I mean, there's a war between, right now there's a war between Israel and, their names also escape me. It's not a country, it's a terrorist group technically, but it's the country. And then there's, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yes,
Well, there's a
it's one of
specific,
them.
no, there's a group of people. I don't remember what it's called right now off the top of my head, because I forgot. Nope, he don't remember either. Anyway, there's that one, and then there's War of Ukraine, Ukraine and Russia. And the Ukraine Russia has been ongoing for 3 years now.
Has it been 3 years?
2 years? At least two. This year and last year. I think it's only two. Maybe three.
Like it's been two.
I can't be wrong.
I feel like there's no way there's it's already been 3 years since that started. But who knows? Maybe.
I could not tell you. But those are the reality wars. Those are the wars that we see that is fought with so store. So
He's having a stroke over
sword and stone. But what there's other battles to be waged, you know, the battles for the soul, the battles for a world that we can't see, you know?
Right.
And we're getting to the point where I think it's the only tool we have left, you know? Because I think, as far as a world standpoint goes, I think like a civil war between the American people are very, very likely. And I think a war between countries is also very, very likely, another world war. But those will always come and go, you know? There's no such thing as a, I think, for me personally, a world where there's 100% peace until God comes, you know? Oh my
Right.
goodness. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's just a matter of like seeing that there is wars that you have to fight, and not only
Exactly.
not just wars, but battles, wars, all of them. And realizing that in order to be able to get through those, you have to have faith. And marking stuff down just motivates you, I feel like. Like it shows you that you not only have hope in your head, but you also have hope in your heart. And you know, you can do just a small act of writing it down and marking it down, whether that means, you know, keeping it in your head or like actually putting it on paper, like knowing that with God it can happen.
Yeah. I think that like it's easy to say as a like there's this stigmatism as a Christian is just like, oh, you're just a Christian, you serve God and blah 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 blah, but you don't like act in faith. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a story in the Bible about, you know, preparing for rain. We talk about it where you must prepare for the harvest before the rain comes. So you have to prepare the fields, you have to prepare the land and make sure that you're ready before the rain comes and for the harvest. And you know, prayer and marking it down in faith is one of those acts where if we don't come before and say these are the things that we need to see, we'll never see change. Because if you're like, eh, the world's fine as it is, you know, and I'm very much part of that crew. It's like you can make the world whatever you want it to be, but you know, it can be better. You know, anything in the world can be better. You know, I really want to say that.
But you also don't want to just mark down the battles and the wars, but you also want to mark down the victories that you had and, you know, remind yourself that you've gotten through other things that weren't easy. And, but you also have to remind yourself that it wasn't just you, know, that God was there with you. Because if you don't, then you'll think that your current battles and your current wars are things that you have to go through by yourself. If you have victory in your life, God was there with you. So you can't do anything without God. You can't win without God. You might
Absolutely.
have like a slight win, but then you're going to go right back to losing because you didn't win with God. You have to take the steps saying, God, I need your help, putting the effort into it, and then God does the rest.
I love this scripture. There's multiple. One in Psalms, but it's also referred to in Matthew, and I'm going to read the Matthew one. It's Matthew 21:42, and Jesus said to them, have you never read the scripture? The stone the builder rejection has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in your eyes. And just that's very, very simple. Like the stone that the builders have rejected, and it sounds so complex in my mind, or it's like I think of the song, it's like, I go to the rock of my salvation, but that's what's my own. The stone that the builders rejected is the weakness, the regret, and those things that we pray for, you know, have become the cornerstone, which is the foundation of whatever you're building.
Right.
And so when I say mark it down in faith, what I really want to put across is the importance to mark it down is to not forget when you come out of it.
Right.
Because as human beings, we always look at the negative, you know, we always think about the loss and the regret and everything like that. But if we look at that cornerstone in our life, that was once a stone that was rejected is now the cornerstone. That thing that we've prayed for is now our hope and our one thing we're fighting for.
Right. It's true. Yeah, I mean, and that, just to kind of go further along with that, like, battles and wars that you go through, you feel like the stone that was rejected. That you kind of just feel like nobody wants you around, or you can't win that war. But, you know, even marking those things down, like, you know, I'm going to have people that are going to support me and be with me and, you know, whatever you need and whatever they need, you know, you're going to be the person that makes them feel like they're okay. And you're going to, and they're going to be the people that make you feel like you're okay. Marking that down, you know, asking God for those type of things. I think marking down really means just like coming before God and saying, hey, this is my bucket list of what I need.
Yeah.
But I don't expect you to, like, you know, mark every single one off like tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like it's something that you have to bring to God, but that you also have to understand that it's not just going to be like all your problems are going to disappear. Because that's just not going to happen. That's not how God works usually.
Yeah.
But he's going to help you get out of the storms and the trials that you're going through, as long as you're walking on the right path.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to mark those kind of stones down, because somebody else is going to go through it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you're not there to help them get through what you went through, you know, make their own place. It's such a loss, you know? Because I think of, like, the important milestones of your life are always the hard ones, you know? You think of, like, high school, and you're, like, going from high school to real life, going from middle school to high school. Those are, like, what they call, like, cornerstone moments, important moments of your life. And you can help people get through and overcome those moments. And then you're, like, even in adulthood, where it's, like, addiction and just, like, past hurts and things like that, where it's, like, you can help them get through and over this stone to make it a cornerstone to reshape their life.
A little side note with what you just said there was, you can always assume that someone's going to be open to what you have to say.
That too.
Just because you went through it.
Absolutely.
And I would know that because I did that. So, you know, just because you went through something, number one, doesn't mean that you have the right to live any way you want to. And then just because you went through something doesn't mean somebody's going to open up their ears and be like, oh, well, he went through it, so that means that I have to follow what he did. You know, you have to come to that realization on your own.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
yeah,
that was a side note, but yeah.
Yeah, it's an important side note, because as easy it is to say, I went through this, don't do it, sometimes you have to put your foot in the fire to realize it hurts. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And as much as you want, I think it becomes more apparent as you become a parent. But when you realize that, like, a younger version, a small version of you, it's like you see the mistakes that you made and you want to help them to stop it.
Right.
But you do have to realize that if they don't go through it, they won't stop the next person. But you can be there to help them over it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, they took the loss, but you can get them to victory.
Right. And with that, I mean, like you said, you have to touch fire in order to know it's hot. Just kind of going along with that, parents shouldn't not tell them not to do something.
Yes.
But just because you tell them not to do something doesn't mean they're not going to do it. It's kind of just like a kid touching a hot stove.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know, that's hot. Don't touch that. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. And then.
Bam.
So it's like, don't think that because you went through something means that you automatically have the power to stop somebody from going through it by himself or for themselves. You know, it's that's unrealistic. And I think I'm starting to learn that it's actually more along the lines of you've went through it. You can help somebody else get through it, but it's not until they want your help.
And so I've seen a lot of people where they need to fall. And I watch them fall, and I watch them keep struggling, and then you show them the easy way. And you know what? Never forget.
Yep.
Because it is that mindset. Because you take that mindset, and you're like, okay, I'm here, and I can help, which is great.
Right.
But what you missed was they'll never know, so they'll keep trying. It's that they have to get to that point where there's nothing. Excuse me. Sometimes you got to take that stone, and you got to make it down to basically nothing, into dust, and then mold it back together.
Right.
And that's where what we're trying to say is, like, don't let your kid touch the fire, but your kid's going to want to touch the fire at some point. You know, as a kid gets older, they want to go out and try their own things. But when they fail, don't laugh at them.
Right.
You know, and I think as a parent, you don't want to, but you know.
Right. But still.
Yes.
But yeah. And then, so that's also something that goes along with the topic that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mark it down in faith that you will see somebody else get their victory. Mm-hmm. Not just you get yours, but also you pray for people and, you know, mark down what they need so that you can remember to pray for it or whatever. But yeah, just like...
I just because it's on the forefront of my mind, I think of Elizabeth, and I'm not going to say... last name here, but a daughter named Elizabeth, who was a child to some pastors, she would rebel against them constantly and just like, no. But they marked it down in faith that this person would become a holy person and is now a very, very holy person. But they marked it down in faith and they never stopped praying. You know, and that's the thing that we're trying to put across is like,
right.
It wasn't one day, and you know that person didn't want to receive it instantaneously, so that person had to fail, but now is able to help others before they fail, because she now knows what those people are going through.
Right.
And she had to learn how to overcome it so she could teach others, you know? And, you know, but what her parents still did was prayed through it. They didn't stop. They didn't stop praying just because she was going through a hard point, you know? Mark it down.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then when we get to that, you know, praise God for the wins that he gives you and the victories that he gives you. Don't forget about them.
No, that's the other thing I was going to say. Yeah.
I kind of already, like, talked about that a little bit. But if you forget that God gave you the victory... then you'll think that what you're going through right now is only going to be, the only way you're going to come out of it is if you choose to. And while that's true, but you have to do it with God.
Yeah.
Because you can choose to try to come out of something, but you'll go right back into it if you weren't trying to do it with God.
Mm-hmm. And this is a weird thing to say, but like when I was very young, I was a terrible asthmatic. Like I have to go on. What's it called? It is a special machine that expands your lungs.
Oh yeah, I did that too.
What's it called?
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
It's just like a little nebulizer. Tube that you breathe nebulizer.
Like, yes.
Nebulizer. So, I was so bad that when I would go to stay with my grandparents and they did not know. My parents, when I was really, really little, like 3 or 4, knew that if they handed me the nebulizer, I'd know exactly what to do with it. So I did it so often that I knew how to operate the entire machine by myself when I was 3. That's a lot for a 3-year-old.
Oh yeah.
So, but God healed me from that. And you may think like, why are you mentioning this? Because I don't think of that victory very often. You'd be like, well, you were really young. You don't think about it. But every once in a while, when I run, and I think about running, I remember. And I'm like, I don't have to worry about breathing anymore because God healed me of this.
Right.
And it's those kind of thoughts that you're like, I would never remember this victory that I had. If you mark it down and then look at it and go, this is the ones that were saved. You know, these are the ones that are healed.
Right. It's true. It's funny. I actually went through the same thing when I was younger. I don't know if I told the people, our followers, the story, but I will right now and then we'll continue. But I was, the one night I was in my room and Jake shared a room with me, my brother, and my allergies or whatever, asthma, was so bad that I went to my parents' room and I was like, I need to go to the hospital because it was like that bad. Like I couldn't breathe at all. So like we went over, we were trying to talk to him and my mom just like woke up out of her like sleep and she told my dad to get the gun. She's like, man, get the gun. What are you going to do? Shoot me? How's that going to make things better?
What are you gonna do, big guy? Sit on me?
Probably. But yeah,
that is like the least like mark down your victories, honey. Get the gun,
honey. Get the gun now.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
But then put it in God's court. You know,
this is a very, very small thing. But it's the most profound thing I heard at one point in my life. If you never prayed for it, why are you expecting it to be answered? And it's like, it's the dumbest, simplest thing. And it's, if you're true. Like, that's super dumb. And you're like, but you never did. But you never did.
No.
You know? And that's like, it's so profound. Or you're like, what?
You know, I was like, that's so simple. It's so stupid.
Huh?
Oh.
Oh,
that's actually true. Yeah, no, but for real.
I've seen so many people.
Yeah,
where they're like, I, why would God allow this? I'm like, did you pray for it? And like, no. I'm like,
maybe try that and move for it. Keep going.
But I do see a lot of people like blame God for whatever they're going through, and I'm like,
I'm
glad that Satan really loves you.
I'm sure,
but
that. I have probably, I'm sharing two stories now, that I'm sure I have shared before, but just to kind of go along with what you said, you know, pray to God for the things that you need, and your prayers will be answered. Yeah, they will. But
I love when it says you'll be heard.
Right.
That's also really important.
It's true. And just to like finish what I was about to say, it rudely interrupted me. I'm just messing with you. But anyway, yeah, people are, if you pray, your prayers will be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I would say eventually, maybe not right when you want them to be, but they will be answered. But there's prayers that were never answered, and there's a reason. And the reason that there's so many people, well, there's a lot of people that are no longer Christians because they prayed prayers and they expected them to be answered and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
To just kind of go along with my story, I had a friend that knew someone that was dying and they were in their 30s.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know the time or the hour, the day or the hour, not time or the
same
hour. Yeah. But I'm not going to tell you that every prayer that you pray is going to be answered because I can almost guarantee you, even if the guy, and it was his wife, but even if the guy wasn't a Christian, I can almost guarantee you he was on his knees and praying and saying, God, and I know that I've not walked a perfect life, but, you know, save her and I will do my best to follow you, or whatever the prayer was that he prayed. But just it that just goes to show that not every single prayer will be answered.
Well, I think a better thing to say is not every prayer is a yes.
Right.
Because I think if I prayed for mass murder, you know, you're like, oh, it's going to get answered from God. And you're like, what?
I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes the answer is no. And I think a good example is, I'm going to say a pastor by the name of Dylan. His brother died just instantaneously in the shower, had some heart problems and just died. And so he prayed and he fasted for days and days and days. And, you know, he didn't revive his brother from dying. But you know what did happen was miracles in his church and miracles in his household. His brother still died. The answer was no, because he was in heaven, you know. But with that being said, God said no, but he didn't say, I don't love you. You know, I think of a best example as a child. If a child asks for a gun and you say no, you know, you're like, I'm protecting the child. And, you know, God says no too, because you're not ready. It might not be a gun, but, you know, as a parent, you have to say no to more than just, you know,
yeah,
no, true. Not right now. It's not the right time.
True. And I mean, for those prayers that aren't answered, the story that I was saying, for those prayers that aren't answered, I don't have an answer to that, other than there is a time, and I, you know, I'm not ready to go, but my heart could stop working here in the next 10 seconds. I'm not saying it's going to, but I'm just saying, like, it could. And
yeah,
we have to be always in the right with God.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, okay, but you know what I mean.
We should
try to be on the right side of God, so that way when your time does come, you don't have to worry about it. It's just like, well, you know.
See, I'm not gonna say the right answer, but I also have another answer. Is there's are like, oh, I prayed to God, and you know, I prayed that prayer, and you know what, nothing happened. My counter answer is, if he did answer, would you have followed through?
Right.
And as much as I want to be like, yeah, I would have, blah, 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 and I'm like, in all reality, probably not. And it's not because I'm doubting, like, what your conviction was. It's because I'm doubting your lifestyle. Because your lifestyle didn't live like you were a Christian. And you prayed one time. I'm not saying one time, but you prayed multiple times. And you know what? Your heart wasn't in it. And I can't say that this is for everyone. I can't say this is everyone. But a lot of times I know for a fact that this person, they prayed and you know where their heart was? Millions of miles away. And it hurts to say, and it hurts to know. But it's reality, you know? Is I think of just different people that I know that said the same thing. It's like, well, I prayed and you know what? They still died. And I'm like, but where was your heart? And it's like, it hurts. It hurts to think about. Because you're thinking of a kind, loving God. And you're like, he would have loved. But I want you to think of the same God, kind, loving. But the thing is, with love, is that you can get hurt. And if you love somebody and you healed them, and they just went and hurt you, would you want to heal them? And it's a petty thing, and it's a human thing to say for me. I'm not God, so I don't know his thoughts. I want to say that I do, but I don't. So I don't know if what is and what isn't. So don't take my word as if it is. But that's what I think, is that,
yeah,
you know, I know a lot of people whose heart are always in the wrong place. And so, you know, it's rough.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that I didn't say about that situation.
I mean, yeah.
You know, I wasn't in contact with those people. I didn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
There was like just so many reasons why I didn't. And personally, like, I was like, I didn't think that it was the right time. And so did so many other people. But It doesn't matter.
No.
You know, it. Your opinion compared to God's.
Yeah, it's
it's like comparing popcorn to a sirloin steak. Like, yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you're hungry for dinner. I'm pretty sure you're gonna grab that sirloin steak. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you're gonna grab that $100, $1 million steak over that right. cheap little bag of popcorn.
Right.
But it is that. It's like, I don't know where these people's hearts were. I don't know where, you know, what God is thinking. I'm not God.
Right.
But those are the things that I think of, and I've been told is like, because people ask like, why does God let, excuse me, murder, death, poisons, rats, rodents that just cause disease and hatred to exist? And it's like, because without it, there would be no free will. You know, if every single day you woke up and you said, I'm happy and healthy today, you don't need God. And it's like, that's a terrible thing to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, and then sin was created because God could no longer be with man.
Right.
Well, sin was the, how do I put this? God left, so there's no more personal connection. There's no more physical connection because sin came. And because of sin, we now need God, you know?
Right.
So.
True. And then our last subtopic. I say
very sidetracked here, but.
Our last subtopic here was it will take time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we said that. We said a lot of that. So.
That's, you know, with the victory and just everything that we did talk about today, just realizing that it will take time. With what we had just talked about, death,
yeah.
It's going to take time for you to, you know, grieve. And, you know, learn to be okay. But then there's also, I feel like sometimes with death, there's a moment where you try to understand what the purpose was. Not because you want to believe that they did something wrong, but just to believe that, you know, what the reason was. You know, mm-hmm. closure. To try to understand why it happened. And sometimes there isn't an answer, but then other times there is. Just allowing God to be like, it was just time for whoever to come home and be with me. And not easy. Yeah. But that's something that it'll take time with. And just in everything in life, it's going to take time. And just allowing that to be reality. Yeah. That without God, it's going to take forever.
Yeah, yeah, really.
But with God,
mm-hmm.
anything is possible. So mark it down in faith.
We have a God who makes a way when there seems to be no way. He's the one who takes us through. And that's a line of a song. But that is the answer. It's like there is a God who makes a way when there seems to be no way. And he's the only one who can make it through.
It's true.
And just remember to pray like that.
Yep.
You know, because it's like, you know, he has liver cancer. The doctors are going to pull out his liver. It's like, but there's a God who makes a way where there seems to be no way.
Right.
He's the one who can make it through.
And that's just to, you know, kind of like go off that. Liver cancer, you know, well, I have liver cancer. God can't heal me. Who was the one that created your liver?
Yeah.
I mean, he can literally get rid of it.
Where did your liver come from?
Right. Yeah. Like, that's just, but then not, but that's like, is such a great point to end on.
Yeah.
Is like, yeah, there's things that look impossible, but who gave you the battle?
Mm-hmm.
And who has given you your victories?
Yeah.
Go off of that. Don't give up just because you think it's going to be hard. Life's hard.
Look,
you know,
look at the cornerstone that the builder has rejected. Or sorry, look at the stone that the builder has rejected that's now become the cornerstone of your life.
Right. It's true.
I believe it is our break.
Mid-break prayer.
I had a stroke again. after you. You're like looking at me. I'm like,
no, I just didn't know what you were doing over there. You're like, yeah, Jimmy Dean's my dad. Anyways,
I told you I was having a stroke.
God, thank you for giving us the battles, because through the battles we can see you and we can learn to live the way that you want us to. God, continue to give us the patience to get through the battles. Continue to show us that you are the way to get through the battles. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.